Though it may not always make the headlines, Santa Clara County has the 9th biggest homeless population in the United States. 2 years ago, KALW reporters Isabel Angel and Angela Johnston spent the night on Bus 22, a 24-hour bus line that runs from Palo Alto to San Jose. It's the only overnight bus route in Santa Clara County. So for over a decade, people have been using the 22 at night for shelter. On the bus, they met a couple, Michael and Elizabeth Garber.
Yeah, there's the Motel 22 or Hotel 22. That's the big one I've heard. I call it home.
My name is Elizabeth Garber. I've been homeless for about 8 months so far, riding Bus 22 as many times at night as we have money for.
The bus is dry, it has seats, but it's clearly not a permanent solution. The Garbers said they were worried their stuff would get stolen. It was hard to get more than 3 hours of sleep since you had to get on and off the bus.
Oh yeah, I've missed interviews because I've fallen asleep on the bus in the morning and missed my stop. I wake up, I've missed court dates. And so, yeah, I don't know how many opportunities I've lost because of it, you know.
We wanted to find out what had happened to the Garbers since we last spoke to them. So KALW's Angela Johnston followed up and found that although they left the bus just a few months after that original story aired, they still haven't been able to move off the streets.
The Garbers tell me to meet them where they now spend nights in downtown San Jose. I get there at 6:30 a.m., and that's cutting it close because they have to be up and out of their sleeping spot before the security guard comes and opens up the building at 7.
Okay.
We are late.
Yes, we are.
Michael is pretty shy, so Elizabeth is kind of the spokesperson for the couple. She tells me they've been sleeping at this place for about 10 months, and they don't want to lose it, which is why she asks me if I could please not mention the name of the building.
So how was last night?
It was actually pretty mild.
Here, they can sleep next to each other. In a shelter, they'd most likely be separated. And their sleep isn't interrupted as much, like it was on Bus 22. Elizabeth says trying to find affordable housing seems out of the picture right now.
The rent is excessive. Cost of living is excessive. It's just all around excessive.
She packs up their belongings and stuffs them into a black suitcase, a fleece blanket, a big comforter, and a blue tarp that they place on the cement. It's starting to tear in the middle. They'll have to get a new one soon, she tells me.
I mean, I know there are a lot of people who like to use the shopping cart method, but that prevents us from going into the library.
That's where they spend most of their days, hanging out, searching for jobs on the internet, and using the quiet space to make phone calls. One call Elizabeth wants to make today is to a sporting goods store to replace Michael's backpack.
This is what this is supposed to look like, right? I've only had this for 3 months.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's ripped.
But before they go to the library,
we are going to go to the San Fernando Light Rail Station and to head to my mother's place. And get showers, me and my husband at least, showers, new clothes, and drop off some of this excess baggage, and we at least have another backpack that he can use.
Elizabeth says they aren't allowed to stay there much longer than that, a few hours, 3 times a week. Her mom has a small apartment, can't afford to house 2 extra people, and her partner doesn't get along with Michael.
Let's head down to the ramp.
For the Garbers, being unable to stay at her mother's house is just one bit of bad luck in a long string of it. We make our way to the light rail station, a quarter mile from their sleeping spot, and Elizabeth tells me how it all started back in 2010. She was 26, Michael was 23, and they had a young son. She says they were trying to make ends meet on $600 a month, with all 3 of them living in 1 bedroom in a shared apartment.
We tried to do the best we could under the circumstances we had. There were times where our son was eating ground beef and vegetables and a little bit of starch, and him and I were only having rice and salt and pepper, or potatoes and salt and pepper.
At one point, Michael got in trouble with the law, and their son was put into the foster care system. Since then, Michael's record has made it hard for him to find work. They lived in a few more low-income apartments and then crashed at Elizabeth's mother's apartment before she couldn't house them anymore. On May 13th, 2013, the Garbers became homeless, and they've been in and out of it ever since.
Half the time we can get it through on our own, and if we can't, well, we fake it until we make it.
Last fall, Elizabeth thought things were looking up. She got a job at a deli counter in a Safeway, but she tells me they fired her after 2 months. Maybe it was because she wasn't used to standing for 8 hours a day, she says. Or maybe it was because her manager found out she was homeless.
I didn't want to lose that job. That job was hope for me.
When the light rail comes, Elizabeth and Michael grab their belongings and hop on.
You have a great day. We'll see you later.
Bye.
I'm not allowed to go to Elizabeth's mother's house, so we meet up again in the afternoon at the public library.
Hello.
Hi.
I find Elizabeth and Michael set up in the back at a booth. Packaged food is spread out over the table, cans of SpaghettiOs, cookies, and chocolate milk. This is their breakfast, lunch, and their dinner. Elizabeth says they went grocery shopping earlier this afternoon with the remaining food stamps. Right now, they're both hunched over their laptops playing a game called Minecraft. The fans on their computers let out a loud hum.
Why do you like playing the game?
It relaxes me. It's a way to be creative, and creativity kind of helps me mellow out. It's just one of those things that it helps me get through my day.
In the game, you can build different worlds out of blocks. You can even grow food and tame animals.
I mean, here in Minecraft, this is my house. I built this from ground up. It still needs work, but it at least has a roof on it.
Elizabeth plays this game almost every day after she's looked for work and made all her necessary phone calls. Earlier today, she got through to the sporting goods store.
They already have the replacement backpack waiting with his name on it.
And she made a few other phone calls on what she calls her Obama phone, a free federal phone service for low-income and homeless people.
I called social services, which, as usual, social services did not get back to me. They were supposed to call us for an interview so that we could have her food stamps continued next week.
Here, she also likes to work on a novel she's been writing for over 20 years and catch up on Facebook. They haven't seen their son since he was adopted a few years ago, but she can look at recent pictures of him online.
Oh, look at this. 3-piece suit, okay? He has definitely got his father's ability to wear a suit.
She also likes to watch funny animal videos.
This could help. Watching animals do their thing.
It's these types of things that keep her happy and give her faith their situation will get better.
Hope is definitely one of those hard things to keep going.
I ask them what they hope for. They say they simply want people to recognize that even though they don't have a home, they're still human beings.
Not all of us want to be on the streets. Not all of us put ourselves here. We need to stop stereotyping the homeless.
Elizabeth says she hates it when people automatically assume that because they sleep on the streets, they're alcoholics and addicted to drugs. She says she's never touched drugs in her life.
You know, just because we're lower on the socioeconomic ladder does not invalidate us as human beings. You cannot brand us non-persons because we don't carry home a check every week.
Michael would prefer if people called it houselessness and not homelessness.
That's why they say home is where the heart is. It's houselessness, physical, actual buildings, actual places to live, you know, because if home is where your heart is, well, technically, wherever she goes.
He points to Elizabeth.
Technically, that's, you know.
He's home.
Yeah. Be it here or, you know, hopefully not 5 miles under the ocean, but you get the idea.
Elizabeth's goal is to find a job first before they start looking for housing. They've been on one affordable housing waitlist for over 8 years. In Santa Clara County, there are over 25,000 families on the waitlist for Section 8 housing. Even if she and Michael were able to get jobs, they worry they still might not be able to afford affordable housing.
Because this isn't living. It's not in the romanticized version of it. This is like, okay, I'm alive. I'm in a physical building for like another 20 minutes. I want to be able to go outside because I want to, not because I have to.
At 8 p.m., the library closes, and the Garbers have to go back outside. They pack their stuff up again, throwing away the empty cans of SpaghettiOs and putting their leftover food into Ziploc bags.
This can go here.
We wait for the free downtown shuttle that takes us back to their sleeping spot a few blocks away.
Are we getting off here?
Yes, we're getting off here.
They unpack their things and get ready to settle down for the night. Elizabeth points to the lights and the security camera on the overhang above them.
We feel safe. When they turn these lights on, they just made us feel safer.
It's 9 o'clock when I say goodbye. They'll stay up for another hour, talking about their day and charting out how to tackle the next one. In San Jose, for Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.